Appreciate you all having me here again. Always good to be with the saints. Well, I'd like to talk to us a little bit about our souls. I hope you think about that sometimes, a little bit about your soul. Seems like the world around us is becoming more and more aware of the physical needs. I hear a lot of talk about health care. End-of-life care. I hear a lot about health foods, eating right, and taking care of these external bodies. There's a lot of money spent, I'm sure, every year on clothing, and we pursue those kind of things sometimes, and not big expensive things, thrift shops and that kind of stuff, frequented quite a bit by us and those kind of things. But people pay a lot of attention to these bodies.
Yes.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with taking care of ourselves, but not at the expense of our souls. And I think sometimes it can be the shelved and put on the back burner and not even hardly considered or thought about that I have something that is more precious than anything else, and that I need to make sure that I have that in order. That I have it took care of before I deal with anything else. I ought to take care of that first. If I don't take care of that first, really there's nothing else going to matter a whole lot. And we can get busy in life. We can get busy in life, but I've never got so busy in life that I didn't make sure that I had my outward man took care of. I mean, have you ever got so busy in life that you forgot to eat? No, I put it off for a while and getting busy, but I never went so far to do that. And I've never, and I know some do, but I've never went to the point that my teeth got yellow because I didn't brush them. Well, they may be always, but I mean, I never went to the point that I don't take care of hygiene and I shower regularly. Those guys that we take care of the outward body. I never went so far that my clothes got so raggedy and just, I forgot about it. I just, so busy with something that I wear raggedy, I take care of myself that way. But if we're not careful, folks, we will let our souls get raggedy. If we're not careful, we'll put it on. It's not observable. It's not on the forefront. It isn't something I think about regularly. And if I'm not careful, I'll let it diminish. Now, I won't take care of it like I ought to take care of it. So I want to encourage us today to make sure that we take care of our souls. We can get in disturbances sometimes with other people. We want to make sure our reputation's upheld. We want to make sure of this. And at the expense that we won't take care of our souls. But we want to have the mindset of first that my relationship with the Lord and my soul is something that I need to take care of. I want to look at a scripture in Proverbs. The 24th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs was written by Solomon. Solomon was born to David. King, he was the king's son. So they give him certain privileges and certain ways of life, I assume. But we know the story of Solomon. Solomon was blessed by the Lord. He became king, was blessed by the Lord with wisdom. He writes this. So I'm assuming that he's talking here. And so he says in the 30th verse of the 24th chapter of Proverbs, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. I drive by a lot of places. I drove by places before with my mind in a certain area, and this passage of scripture come to me. I drove by a place that obviously wasn't tended. I went by a slothful man's place. And it doesn't say that he knew this man. It doesn't say no anything about him. He deducted this, right? I went by the field of the slothful. How did I know he was slothful? I went by his field. It's deduction. Mathematical sequence. You know what I'm talking about? 2, 4, 6. Give me the next one. 8. 3, 6, 9. 12, mathematical sequence. 5, 10, 15. Oh, okay, I'll make it harder. 2, 4, 8, 16. Oh, okay, but it's mathematical sequence. We know what comes next, right? If you follow the sequence, you know what comes next. I'll make it harder to you. 3 to 9, 5 to 25, 7 to... Somebody give me the sequence. Well, I ain't hearing you. Maybe you're saying it. It's all squared, or three times. It's times itself. And so it'd be 49. Well, we know that because it always works. It always works. It's always the same sequence. It always comes out. If I said 1, 2, 3, well, you're going to give me 4? And we do that. We know that is a truth. You know, the world, one of the things that I marvel at the world now is that they know that. But the world's losing the idea of sequence. And what follows what? It's called wisdom. It's called understanding, to know something. Solomon didn't know the man. He went by his field and deducted that he's a slothful man. I can deduce that in life. I can deduce. And how many times I've said to those that are around me, somebody will say, well, you heard so-and-so done that. I said, if they done that, I'll tell you where that's going to end, because it's a no-brainer. It follows in a normal sequence. If you do that, young people, old people, everybody, if you bring certain things into your marriages and behave certain ways, I can deduct the number in that sequence. I can tell you what the order of that is. I can tell you what the orderness of living for God is too. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of others. I've seen people get serious about God and say, God's got something for him. Wait and see. You know why? It's sequence. People, you can hum haw around, live for the God, kind of live for the Lord, not live for the Lord and all that. You won't have that sequence in your life. I can tell you what the sequence is, but it isn't God giving you a calling and you having something. That's not the sequence. And over in my life, I've seen the sequence of God work. Somebody get serious with the Lord, God will make something out of him. He'll do something with him. Give him something. That's the sequence. I've seen it. On the other hand, I've seen the sequence the other way. I've seen people that don't devote themselves to the service of the Lord even locally. They can go or not go. It isn't very important. And you know that has a certain sequence to it. It don't bear fruit. It's got heartache. It's got worldliness with it. It always does. Because it's in the order. Solomon goes by the field of the slothful, and a man void of understanding. How did he know he was void of understanding? He deducts it. That's how he knows. He deducts it because if a man had an understanding that the winter's going to be long and he's not going to have anything to eat and he's not going to have anything to sustain him with, Solomon knew that the man was void of understanding. You know, when I look at the world and look at those around me and I see the actions of them, I can deduce that they're void of understanding. When I see people, young people that have their life ahead of them, and I see them behaving a certain way and know in my heart and mind that that's going to bring destruction to their life and they're not going to stay married that way, and even can say it and prophesy it and it come true. I can say when I see them do it, there's a couple that's void of understanding. They don't know the normal path that this is going to follow. They should know, folks. They should know. There's sequences in it. How many times a young man will grow up and start drinking just like dad did? Come home and beat mom and beat us and all that. And he goes up and he starts drinking himself. And then what does he do? He acts like dad. Goes right down the same course and number sequence that his dad did. Goes down the same sequence. You can see it over and over. And then I've said in my life, if I behave like they do, I can expect the same kind of result that they went, done the same thing. But totally void of understanding. I would like the Lord to help us today to have some understanding about the sequences of living for the Lord. Or not living for the Lord. What's going to happen if I do not be void of understanding and end up in a shipwreck in this stuff? Or end up years down the road never being what God really wanted me to be? Because God's got a plan for all of us. But I never really got to the place that I jumped into my next sequence. I never really allowed that to happen. So he goes by this and he deduces that the man is lazy. And he doesn't, and it's caused, he doesn't understand what's going to happen that way. So he goes by that. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. That happens by process. No, yes, but it happens by default. He didn't make that happen. That happened on its own. It's called entropy. Walls don't create themselves and build up. It'd be neat if things would turn. I've said this before, but it'd be real neat if it won't work, if you could make it work the other way around. But it don't. It'd be real neat if I could, well, my tires are getting thin on my van. I'll drive to Oklahoma, and by the time I get there, the tread will be back on them. That would be really good. If you could reverse the process, all the rubber that's come off on the highways over the, I could go and it'd come back on there and build it back. Or the roof that's going down, all of a sudden it's new shingles. It doesn't work that way. It works the other way. Your walls will fall down if you don't keep building them up. If you don't go around them and maintain, hey, there's a crack there, better fix that. Hey, that rock fell off. If when that rock falls off, you leave it off, and then another one falls off and you leave it off, before long, the whole thing's done. And you know, when Solomon seen this, I can't help from thinking that he was thinking more than just the fields. Yes. He went by and it's grown up with thorns and nettles. Scratches and stings is all that it can provide for you. The wall that used to protect it is gone. I'm going to ask you a question. This was a field. He said it was a field and a vineyard. I'm assuming that there's supposed to be something to eat and something to drink. They're supposed to be. Was that there? It wasn't there. But here's a point I want you to get. Just because you ain't bearing the fruit doesn't end there. There's a replacement for the fruit. If it was only that I ain't bearing fruit, that'd be one thing, and you could kind of be normal in a certain way, or you could kind of be in between type thing. But you know, when you don't have the fruit going on there, something else is going to take its place. The lust, the passions, the stings, the nettles, the lust, the passions, the corruption. The impurities and the defilements is what's going to be there. I've got a neutral soul. You don't have a neutral soul. You have a soul that's filled with something. Yes. And when Solomon goes by, this field, folks, is our souls. Yes. This is our souls. What am I making in there? And I want to tell you something, and this isn't a critical statement, but I look around the world and I listen to politics and listen to news and all this, and something that I can say in the normal sequence of things, they're void of understanding. The world is so void of understanding what they're going for and looking to, and the mistruth. And the, oh, Lord, help. You know one of the reasons why I love service so much? Because I can count on something there being pure.
Yes.
I can know that there's a pure desire, that there's a pure thing, that there is a pure word.
Yes.
That there is something that's not And it has its sequences too, folks. If we'll follow this, it'll bring peace into our hearts. It'll bring joy. Yeah. It'll bring calmness. It'll settle down issues. It'll bring a stability to your marriage. It'll calm the disruptions of congregations and of communities and of our world if people would let it. You're not going to be neutral. You don't take time to pray. You don't take time to go to your normal services. You don't take time to be faithful. You don't take time for your soul in meditation and dealing with your soul. You're not going to be neutral. You're going to become more and more void of understanding. Yes. And so, Lord, help us. He says here, then I saw. I think he looked. He's seen it. But then he said, he looked at it all. And he saw it. Oh, Lord, help us to see. Help us to see. The necessity. The real necessity of this. Brother Salmon said one time, I won't mention the particulars, but Brother Salmon said something that stayed with me over the years. There was some issues, and Brother Salmon's commented on the issues, and he didn't say that it was wrong. He didn't say it was right. He simply made this statement, I've never seen anybody prosper in the Lord that didn't do it. You know, it stuck with me. It can be because it come down to, we like to have the black and white. He didn't bring it down to the black and white. He just brought it down to this. If you're real serious about the Lord, you're going to do whatever you need to do to make that happen. And everyone that I ever seen that done it that way was serious and become prosperous in the Lord because they did. And you know, that really got me. I was saying, hey, that's enough. That's enough. You don't have to have it black and white now. All you got, that's enough. If that will prosper me in the Lord, then that's enough. That's what I want. So Solomon goes by this and he sees this situation. And I will say this to this congregation. I want it, and I hope everybody does. There is so many things around about us that will speak to us, that God will use. God used a field of the slothful to speak to Solomon. Solomon sees this and is desiring. He's desiring something. He's looking for something. He looks at this, and here is a king's son and a reigning king, maybe. Here's a king, right? And yet, he looks at the field of the slothful. Something he drove by, maybe. He went by it. And he looked, and Lord, help me to understand something. Yes. Let me to see and understand what's around me, to teach me. I want understanding. I want to know, Lord, what you want of me. I want to understand how better to take care of my soul. I'll be honest with you. I forget things sometimes. I just plain forget them. My heart's right towards it. But sometimes I just forget, and I don't realize it. I don't even realize where I'm at. You ever been that way? Just didn't realize where you was at? If you knew where you was at, you wouldn't have been that way. Do you know, folks, you can be lazy spiritually and be one of the most diligent doers of earthly things that they are. I've known them. I've known people that can't hardly sit still with doings, going. You wouldn't label them at any. But when it comes to spiritual things, lazy, indifferent, slothful, and void of understanding about their souls. Then I saw and considered it well. You know, he didn't just look about this. He meditated on it. He thought about it. Is there an analogy? Is there an analogy between this world and the spiritual world? Jesus used it over and over and over again. Solomon looks into the same kind of an idea. Is there a relationship between the natural world and the natural actions of mankind to spiritual ones? And he considered it well. And he concluded, well, there must be. There must be something that I can understand by life around me to understand a deeper idea of spiritual things. And he said, I considered it. Well, I looked upon it and I received instructions. Now that's what really got me about this reading was, is it really got me. Because I believe you could do all of that and not receive the instructions. Oh, I won't tell you, folks. I guess it's a human quality. But a wise man receiveth instructions and a fool despises it. But you know what? And I wouldn't want to accuse us or myself of being a fool, but you know, sometimes instructions are hard to receive for us humans. It's really hard for us, you know, to receive instructions. We're going to have it be in a place that we need something, or there's a reason for getting those instructions, or how many times I've heard this idea, don't try to tell me that, it just makes me want to do it more. Just don't. Oh, I know about that, but Lord, help me not to be the kind of person that says, I got a need here and you got enough care for telling me that I got my need, and for me to say to you, you don't tell me that, because the more you say that, the more I want to do the opposite. Well, Lord, help me. Because, I don't have to have total confidence in you and your wisdom, because you'll be fallible. All people are. But what about when the Lord instructs? What about when the Lord has an obvious lesson in our life? The Lord has lessons in our lives. I think a lot of times as I look on, I say, they didn't get it. And I'm not claiming I get it all the time. But I'll see lessons sometimes where it's obvious to me by the life they're living, by what they're doing, that the Lord is showing mercy and wanting to show them something. And I see it. The Lord reveals it to me. I see it. The Lord's dealing with them. That's the answer to our prayers. Thank God. The listener time. And they won't receive instruction. Not from me. They're not receiving instruction from the Lord that wants them to see the sequence. If you go, young man, down this road, it's in Proverbs. If you go down this road, young man, to that strange woman, I'm going to tell you the sequence. You know, there's another scripture that says about looking at drinking wine. That says that this is the sequence of contention, of anger, of all that. And this is the sequence. And he warns against drinking. Because if you do, there's a sequence that is going to go right along with you. And you know, there's a sequence in life of all of these things. Yes. There is something to have to pay at the end of it. And the Lord comes and he will prevent it. Lord, I've prayed many times, Lord, help me to get what I can get out of the situation that I don't have to go through it again. Help me to understand. Help me to receive instruction. Help me to open my heart to receive instructions. There's something else involved in this that we're so prone to shun. And that's that God is providence. Do you realize that God is a providential God? There is providence. It's real. The hand of God is in it. Right? So now if I run into a situation, shouldn't I be considering that possibly it's God's providence? You know how many times we've tried to run, how we kick, struggle, scratch and claw, get out of situations that's God's hand? Trying to give us instruction? Because we got it wrong. We think 2, 4, 6 is 10. And it's not. We got it wrong. We think we can do bad things and come out with a good end. And the Lord wants to come back and try to get us into the right place of this, to understand this.
Yes, amen.
I'm going to tell you right now, In my experience, and I will use Brother Samuels also in his experience, when people aren't simply faithful, they're not prosperous. They never are. It's not the sequence. So why, let me ask you something. Why would you assume that your life will turn out differently doing the same thing somebody else done? That goes all, that is so rampant. That I can look and see the patterns of those that went before me. I'm going to tell you something. When I first got saved and went to the Church of God in Green Bank, there was a body of believers there. I'm telling you by observation, from a young man that didn't know anything, but I got saved. And immediately, upon going to that congregation, there was a few people in there. I could not have defined it. I couldn't have predicted anything. I only observed it. There was a number of people in there that was not like the rest. I'm saying they're bad. They just didn't hold the same standard. I noticed it immediately. There's people here that does not hold the same standard, the same look. They have something different about them. And to the person, they're off in the world. To the person, they followed a sequence. They followed a natural sequence of what happens to everybody that goes that way. Oh, we justify it with all kind of mistakes in the church and those kind of things. But that's not what's driving it. No. Lord, help us today. Our souls is what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about a faithfulness of to be able to receive instructions. And it's ridiculous for me to assume that if I go the course of those that went before me, that I'm going to go a different way than they. It's going to turn out different from me. My heart goes out to our young people a lot of times because I look, I see the struggle, but I look at the situations and I say to them, oh, the prediction that I make here is not tomorrow. It's not necessarily next week. It's just on the horizon somewhere. It takes time, and if things don't change, sometimes it can be reversed. I know that. But I can make a prediction of those that don't really get serious about the Lord and let the world in. There's trouble on the horizon. There is going to be, if you're not careful, there's going to be total shipwreck and loss of home and family and everything that's precious and good. And you may even get to the place that you don't care because you've went that far in the sequence. And you might get to the place in the sequence, and somewhere in that sequence, there's always a blame for the other person. Sequence. Church's fault. Do you know that we actually got blamed at home for somebody's situation that they grew up and went on and got into a marriage that wasn't any good and divorced, and we actually got the blame for it? And I've still scratched my head over that one. How could somebody that believes as strongly as we do about marriage say that it was our fault that they went and got in a bad marriage? I don't know. I still, maybe there's a way of describing that. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you this. It's not abnormal. It's in the sequence. Yes. That it's somebody's fault that ain't mine. Somebody's fault. He said, I received instruction. Solomon was able to look at that pattern and gain good for it. He got something. He received the instruction that taught. Folks, this lesson is valid in all of earthly life and spiritual life. If you want to prosper, you have to work at it, right? Yes. If you want to obtain, you've got to work at it. There's a lesson. You know, if you're going to gain in the Lord, you don't have to work at it. It's just true. It's just true. You can't just leave it to happen. I plan to plant another garden this year. I like gardening. I plan to do it. I can't sit out there and wish day after day that the weeds wouldn't grow and that that my plants would if I don't plant them and dig and take the other out. Just sit and hope and stay in my living room and well, I got a garden out there. I sure hope it's doing all right. I hope my garden does well out there. If you come by my garden last year, you would have seen nice rows of potatoes here. Then over here, these nice straight rows of corn growing. And no weeds, folks. No weeds. Weeds ain't good. No, the weeds. I'm going to pluck them out every day. I pick them up. Weed garden. Then I had some tomatoes along here. All these things. You know, it took work to do it. Yes. The ground preparation's important. Planting right is important. Having it all cleared off around. Everything was important. There was a certain order to it. And there come a time and I'm going to tell you, there come a necessary time in the order, folks. As sure as 2, 4, 6, and then 8. We're going to live this life, and as sure as that, we're going to come down to death one of these times. And I hope it's 8. You understand what I'm saying? There comes a time that the natural order that we can expect and see. Do you think if you live all the days of your life and come down to the end of it, do you think Jesus will be with you when you go? Does anybody here believe Jesus will be with you at the end? It's a natural order. It has to be. You live all the way down. He's got to be there. He promised to be there. You believe that if you have grace and to be saved with, you got grace to fight the battles with, you got grace to overcome the sins with, you got grace to overcome your own personal faults with, do you think you got grace to overcome death with? It's natural order. I want to say this. If you think that you live a selfish life, a lustful life, if you indulge yourself in all the lusts and the musics and the entertainments of this world, do you think that Jesus giving you peace at the last is going to be the normal routine of that? You think? I don't think so. There is I'm going to tell you. There's a pattern though. I remember a man, I've heard these stories, but I actually knew this story. I knew a man that got cancer. It was back when I was a teenage boy, and they don't have what they have today with that, but he saw those that had went before him that had had cancer and going through the treatments and how horrid it was, and he just plain said it was not religion that done it. He just said, I ain't going through that. I'm just going to die. Well, I'm just going to go through it and die the way I'm not going through all that. And so the man did. He was not a saved man. And I remember the day he died the next day, but I was there the day before that. And like I said, I was a teenager. And I remember hearing this man screaming, I'm on fire. I'm on fire. My feet's burning. I'm on fire. I remember this horrific, horrific thing. There's things to follow. The order in life. And you can't get around that order.
That's right.
Folks, it'd be real good for you to think that maybe young people can stay under the umbrella of your parents. I'm going to tell you, if you get into that order, you're going to follow the order.
Yes.
It just has to be. So he concludes this. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. Again, I'm going to assume in this proverb, in the poetry of it, I'm going to assume, maybe he did, I have no way of knowing. I'm going to assume that Solomon deducted this. From what he was looking at. And I think we can accurately do the same thing when we look at people's lives and see where they're at in life. And I can deduct that you folded your hands and you haven't been doing what you should be doing. I don't mean that you're a lazy person. Hey, it ain't lazy to get up Sunday morning early and haul your boat all the way down to the lake and spend it all down there. I'm just saying it's a bad idea. Maybe you don't like that, but I'm going to tell you from observation, that's a bad idea. You might get by with it a little bit, but the people that I've seen that don't care enough to put their heart into it, don't prosper. They just don't prosper. I want us all to prosper. And if God, getting up, it ain't lazy to get up early in the morning and go to the mall and spend all day there walking around the stores on Sunday. But I'm just saying this, it's a bad idea. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't follow. It doesn't follow. Do what you need to do to yourself first. Yeah. Let that fall in its order. And then blessings. I believe in a living God that interacts with us. And I believe in a God that says, well done. And I believe in a God that puts his hands around us. And I believe in a God that will bless us when we're doing what God wants us to do. He loves everybody. But he blesses those. He puts approval. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. You that desire it. You that desire rightness to your soul, to think right, to speak right, to do right. I'm going to bless you for that. That you can. So he says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. This comes, doesn't it? I get the idea of him saying that it isn't immediately. It isn't immediate. But your poverty's coming. It's coming as a traveler's coming. A step at a time. Oh, he's 15 miles away. But he's headed your direction. Well, it takes a long time to walk that far. But he's coming. Well, I'll run from him. You'll sleep somewhere. He's still coming. He's still coming. How long he's coming? You know what? Poverty's coming to those. And as an aside, I believe this. I believe our country would be so much better off naturally if we would teach people to work rather than get something for nothing. I know it's a political, but I'm going to tell you, this still fits. 2, 4, 6, 8. That is a bad idea, and there's not very many people smart enough or wise enough or understanding enough to realize what you're doing to people. Yeah. You're doing that to them naturally, and you're doing it to them in their souls, in their spirits. They don't understand what follows. There's an idea now that you couldn't write the proverb. You can't write this proverb. You can spiritually still, but you can't write the proverb if I don't have to keep my vineyard up and I get more for not doing it. Folks, I know it's a bad idea for humanity. It's a bad idea because of the order of things. But more than that, I don't have to pay for the poverty of my soul. And I'm going to tell you, you will pay for the poverty of your soul. Yeah. I want to just end with this, a scripture that ties into my mind. In the 8th of Proverbs, y'all aware of it. They're talking about wisdom. And the first question of that first verse of the 8th chapter is, doth not wisdom cry? And the answer is given. Yes. Wisdom is crying. Now, it isn't literally crying. You can't hear it with your ear. The metaphor here doesn't life teach you? That's what it's saying. Don't you look and say, have you grown up enough? I have. I've grown up enough to say, I've seen my friends. I didn't do it, but I see my friends take the first cigarette. I've seen people do it, and now I see the oxygen hooked on. I've seen it. I've seen 2, 4, 6, 8. I've seen the pattern. And this says, does wisdom not cry against that to you? You saw those that went before you. Have you ever seen drunkards? Well, evidently, a lot of people haven't. Well, sure they have. And wisdom's crying. That's a bad way. Living ungodly is a bad choice. It's just a bad choice. We'll get down closer for us. There's a reason why we preach and hold standards. Yeah. Don't love them. Don't throw them away. If you don't understand them, I say love them, embrace them, find out what they are, get the wisdom of them.
Yes.
Why? Because wisdom's crying, folks.
Yes.
It's crying to us. Understand this. Understand this, that better people than you have went down this way and couldn't maintain themselves because they lost it here. I look at our song books and look in there at the authors of our songs, and some of them, and I say, I've read some of their writings and seen their gifts, and I say they're better men than I am. And their callings were sharper, and their abilities were better. And so they lost it. And I said, well, then there must be a pattern that if I follow, if they couldn't do it, if I follow it all, I can't do it either. But there's a pattern that you can follow, folks.
Yes.
And Jesus lays it out real clear and how well he done it. And how he wants us to follow it. And you know what Brother Sanders used to also say this. He said, Jesus, the Son of God, came down from heaven. This is the way he does it. He comes down from heaven. He walks earth. And then he went back to heaven. And if you get with him in here, you go too. This is where he went. This is his trail. This is his path. This is where he goes. You get hooked up with him, you go too. But you go in a sequence. He'll go in a sequence. He'll deal with your heart, convict you of sin, and he'll deal with you all along the ways, and one will follow the other. And you know, I find when people get real serious with the Lord, they naturally find places of activity in the Lord.
Yeah.
We say, well, why? We don't have enough of this, enough of that. And I ain't getting on anybody. I'm just saying enough of this, enough of that. I immediately go back to our consecration. How serious? How seriously are we on this? And I think there's those that could testify to this. I fooled around for so long, but when I got serious with the Lord, Lord, give me something to do.
Yes.
It's just what he'll do. And it'll be natural to you too. I pray that the Lord would bless this, that the Lord would help us to, I think we've got to take care of the whole world around us. I think it's right and a good example of the Lord for me to take care of my home, to take care of my vehicles, to take care of my dog. I think it's good that they see somebody that takes care of what's charged to them, both financially, secularly, naturally. But if I do all that and don't take care of spiritually, I've still lost it. But I think it's right to take care of it all. But the first thing we ought to focus on is, Lord, help me take care of my never-dying soul. You pray for me.